Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Never gets old. Gentlemen, America, welcome to another amazing edition of Talking Sports with 12th Man. We're here on this new Monday night, February the 7th, and just do a little, you know, try to keep you on your toes, try to switch up every now and then, and, you know, we're going to talk some sports here on Monday. So, again, we are officially ready to go. We see Rob is representing, even though you got to go old school with the cap, man. You got to bend that cap, man. Don't do what the youngsters are doing, man. I hate the straight build, man. You got to bend it, man.
It's the only hat I have, the straight build, the only one. So I'm trying to wear it like these youngest. You know, sometimes you got to have a childlike heart, right? So, you know, this is my one hat. But I'm over the curve bend too, but this is the one. It's the old school New Orleans Jazz, so I had to get it. They didn't have it in the curve.
Fair enough. I'll let you slide, man. Again, we got to some
gotta have a childlike
from
heart.
West Coast. You know what? I feel you, man. Childlike heart is definitely cool, man. So it's all good. Let's introduce the fellas here. We got a nice little blend here, as we always do. Seems like JQ has maybe come down from his high with the Bengals, but you know, we'll check in with him.
I don't think so.
Maybe not. You've been absorbing all the Super Bowl cup. You know, you ready, bro? So let's kick it out, JQ. How you feeling, man?
Hey, so I had to go get my Chase T-shirt. I'm representing for my Bengals. I can't find me a jersey because it's sold out. But, yeah,
wow.
Man, you know, I'm still ready. I'm now it's for real. Like, last week it was like, oh, yeah, they made it. He had that week to kind of, like, absorb it, and now it's real. The game comes 6 days from now, so can't wait. Like Bart Scott, can't wait.
Get your pizza and wings ready.
You watch ball coverage?
I watch as much as I can get told you. I've been running around a little crazy today, but I'll get some more as the week goes along.
But man, definitely absorb, man. I know whenever you're in that mode, your team is in there, you're just watching everything. Like, I can't get enough. Like ESPN, I mean, NFL Network, it's just like, you're all about it, man. Watching the crazy stories, crazy questions. I mean, you're all in, man. You're like, you just can't get enough of that, man. It's a great feeling, too, you know. So I feel you, man. We'll keep going, man, because you know, all the good stuff. Let's check in with the other co-host, Rob Ford, talking about Young at Heart with the straight bill throwback Utah Jazz representing. What's up with that, Rob? How you feeling, man?
Man, feeling great. Ready to get this thing going, man. Had a double dose of asparagus today. Had some for lunch and dinner. You know, I had to, you know, I haven't talked about it in a while, so I figured I'd bring it on the show tonight. Only problem is, man, it's hard to stay full when you eat asparagus, man. I'm looking for snacks, man. I'm eating peanut butter pretzels and everything now, man. Like, come on, man.
Nobody cares about your asparagus habit, Rob. Nobody cares what happens to asparagus. Come on, bro. I'm joking, man. It's all good. Man, that household, man. Talk about that later, man.
Gotta keep it fun.
He must like the way your pea smells, man. West Coast.
Oh, yeah. I had some kale with that asparagus, too. I had kale and asparagus in my lunch, too.
Jeez,
double dose.
Right.
Hmm?
What are you, a damn kangaroo?
That's why I can't stay full, man. Looking for snacks in there.
I can't even with Rob right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he's trying to stay lean in case you got to go out there and help Alvin Kamara fight.
You're right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got to go out to the first was Pac-Man Jones, now it's Alvin Kamara, huh, Dre?
I
probably couldn't tell Andre this, but Pac-Man Jones live in Tampa now.
Oh, my God. He's definitely following his connect. That's what's happening right now. I got to keep my connection strong. So, River Rock.
We lived in the same part of Vision in Atlanta. Then when, and I moved back to New Orleans. Pac-Man moved to New Orleans, and he lives in Tampa.
Man, I thought you were part of the Anchorman. It's you, bro.
Huh?
It's you.
With that, bro. You can't make this up, man. You can't make this up. Curtis, Gary, how y'all feeling, West Coasters?
How you doing, Curtis?
I'm doing good. I'm still around. And that's so good.
I'll tell you
good.
What, Rob, you're wearing that hat. You know, I love Pistol Pete. I love watching Pistol Pete. Back
Pistol
in the day, I'm sure you've seen, you know, those horse competitions. And Pistol Pete was just a wizard at those horse competitions that the NBA used to have. And it was phenomenal to watch him. As far as kale goes, did I tell you guys my kale recipe?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, you take olive oil and you heat it up on the stove. And then you, you know, you toss in the kale, and you toss in a little fresh cracked pepper and a little kosher salt. And then you take it off the stove, and you dump it in the garbage can. Yeah. The salt, between the salt, it all slides off
crazy
in the garbage can in one fair swoop. Yeah.
I was waiting on it. I knew it was coming.
Something was kind of fishy, like, man, is this going to be really good or something was crazy about to happen? So, apparently, I mean, come on, Gary. All right, so, I mean, I feel Rob. I'm a fan of some kale salad, man, so I'm not totally hating on that, man.
I like
healthy. We need to do that. Yeah, we got to stay healthy, you know. Another reason, shout out to you, staying healthy. So, I feel you, Rob. It's all good. Hey, we got a lot of things to discuss, man. Curtis and Gary are here. JQ's representing. Rob ready. So let's do a quick update on the Winter Olympics. I'll throw it to you, Rob. You know, because again, I'll be honest, man. I've been going 50 miles an hour here. I caught some slight updates, if you will, too. But go ahead and do a quick update on the Winter Olympics, and we'll go from there.
Hey, I know we got some fans out there that may be interested, and I'll have to be quite honest with you. It's not a huge interest of mine, but I will say I got caught in watching
the
wife skiing on Saturday, so I found it to be pretty interesting, but. You know, United States, you know, we're in 15th place when it comes to the gold medal count right now. So we now have a good start, but I hear we're making some strides in the figure skating right now. So those of you all that like all the fancy skating and things of that nature, the figure skating, maybe that's where we're going to make a run here. But China, the host country, is holding it down right now, along with Sweden with the most gold medals. They have three each. Looks like in total medals is The Rock, the former Soviet Union. So they're at seven medals right now as far as total medals. But China and Sweden are tied for the most golds with three.
The Rock.
He's like, I'm doing a whole
lot. Wow. You know when you hit Rock, you got to throw it up.
Like, oh my God. Go ahead, Rock. JQ's on a whole other level right now, man. He's living high. Bingo's world over here. Keep going, Rob. Is that it? That's all you got?
You know, this. You guys don't know something
about
me. This is the Winter Olympics. This year I haven't had an opportunity to really watch them because I'm doing a lot of stuff on my house. But the Winter Olympics are just a thrill for me. You know, sponsored skier for 10 years, also an Olympic hopeful. I trained with the U.S. team for several years. This isn't any joke. This is true. I raced all through high school and then 10 years on the NASCAR circuit after high school. My best races were in the giant slalom and the downhill. You might have known some of the guys I raced against. You might have heard them. The Mayer brothers, Phil and Steve Mayer, they were in my era. Also, Bill Johnson, who was also from Oregon. He was the first American to win the downhill for us in the Olympics. And, you know, these guys I race quite often after their Olympic career and in the NASCAR circuit. And, you know, I had my fair share of wins against them. I think the only reason, the only difference between someone, when you're dealing with, you know, 4/100ths of a second, whether you qualify for an Olympic, for the Olympic team or not qualifying, is just the luck of the draw sometimes. You know, the where the snow is, the conditions, things like that. So it's something that is dear, you know, near and dear to me. I love watching. I'll go back and I'll watch clips of it or whatever, and different races. I haven't had the time to really, you know, dive into it like I normally would. But fantastic sport. You know, if you ever travel in a vehicle at 72, 73 miles an hour, you're clipping down the road pretty good. But when you're on a pair of 235, you know, centimeter skis, that's lightning fast. It's crazy fast. You know, you're always your best racers are always on the brink of disaster. That's where you want to get yourself. You want to be on that fine line between control and disaster. If you can get there and keep it there, you're going to have that skiing on the edge. If you can ski on the edge of disaster, that's the guy that's going to win it, or the lady that's going to win it.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. I thought you were being really. I thought a joke was about to come in, but that's pretty amazing, Gary, if you will. So, you know, skiing is definitely something that I wanted from my bucket list. But again, just I got to have like that smooth slope, man. You know, that's something that, you know, I'm not going on any swallows, downhills, or, you know, so none of those things. But yeah, that's you see some skiers and the top speeds, and that is pretty impressive. Go ahead, Rob. Yeah.
And just a correction, the ROC stands for the Russian Olympic Committee, or the Russian Olympic Committee.
No, I knew what it was.
Trying to get us in trouble over here. Let's talk about some stuff here, and we're going to talk about some reports. Whenever you were texting Rob, you said, you know, again, the Dolphins hired Mike McDonald, and that's whenever I was, you know, making jokes about, you know, I can't forget, I'm not in love. And it was Mikey McDaniel.
Mike, I know,
hey,
I said
Mikey
McDaniel, not instead of McDaniel.
I was like, man, what the heck? Obviously, I was like, man, Mike McDonald. And then, of course, JQ was right there with me and talking about, man, it was hilarious, man. We were doing some Michael McDonald shots out back in, you know, Doobie Brothers with the music. So, you know, I was trying to pull it off. But we'll talk about that in a quick second. Again, how Stephen Ross is claiming that your boy is biracial. That's a whole other, like, you kind of digging, man, right there, man. So that's a whole other conversation. But
his
father's African American.
For real? Let me see this. I'm going to have to do it. Okay. That's what we got to do now. He black, man. He got a little black in him, man. Okay. We'll see.
Yep.
I'm going to check that out whenever we do a quick update here. Cause I don't know, man. I'm going to have to, he don't look black right now, but we'll see, man. We'll come back around. That's like your boy in Iowa, right? Noel Fain. Who's that? That J.K. Collins, he's saying that ain't no black folks in Iowa, whatever. And I was like,
Noel Fain. Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, come on, bro. We gotta do some proving over here. But let's do a quick Senior Bowl recap here. A lot of interesting, you know, performances. And this was I don't know if you had a chance to watch the game, so, you know, live, if you will. So I was watching that. Obviously wanted to give a shout-out to your FAMU, if you will, the Rattlers here. They were performing at halftime. But there's some people that make some really good progress, and we're going to talk about two quarterbacks, Malik Willis and Desmond Ridder. There you go, a little shout-out to Cincinnati again. We're showing JQ a lot of love. And I just want to talk about how they did during the game. You know, obviously it looks like it was a more of a defensive game here. A lot of sacks, interesting, from the game. And kind of took a little from that. But, you know, these guys still shine, and we'll talk about the movement, if you will, if they've helped themselves for Rob's mock draft. And we'll actually touch base on that as well, too. So go ahead, Rob, we'll talk about that. We'll kick it to Curtis and Gary when we get their thoughts on that, too, and just, you know, mock draft and all that good stuff, too. So go ahead, Rob, for a quick recap.
Yeah, And it's not just the game, it's the overall week, too. So it was really kind of cool to see a lot of the practices, too, and things of that nature. I think there's a lot of value in that. But when you look at Malik Willis, his stock is improved to me. I still have him 18 in my latest mock, but I'd be shocked if he gets out of the top 10. He just has too much talent. And you saw in the game, you know, he wasn't great throwing a football in the game, but the way he just kept getting first downs with his legs and things of that nature and putting points on the board, his talent is just going to be too good to pass up. And, I mean, he's going to be a little bit of a project when it comes to throwing the football. But I can't see him getting out of the top 10 in his draft. When you look at his arm talent, the way he can get the ball down the field, if you can work on his accuracy, he's going to be. What do you got there, Dre? What? We can't hear you.
I'm sorry, I muted myself. I'm looking at Mike McDaniel over here, man. Come on, man. Come on, man. I'm not gonna catch you.
Come on, Dre.
Come on, man. This is gonna have to be like some DNA, man. Come on, man. How are you pulling this off? Go ahead, man. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to mess you up, man. I just got questions, man.
Desmond Ridder as well was very solid the entire week. The scouts really liked his consistency. You know, he threw the ball with accuracy throughout the week as well. I still got him going in the second round right now, but he maybe can sneak into that latter part of the first round. I got him going to the Steelers in the second round right now. Obviously, the Steelers would need a quarterback. You know, he'd probably go in there and compete. But I got him going to Steelers in the second round right now in the latest mock draft. Kenny Pickett, you know, he struggled, you know, with some handoffs in the sloppy weather. You know, that could be concerning. But, you know, there's no denying his accuracy in the game. He's accurate throwing the football. I think he was 6-for-6 in the game as well. So I still got him going fairly early. I have to look at my mock, but I think I got him going 12 to Cleveland at the moment. And then you look at some other people. Zion Johnson, offensive lineman from Boston College, was really impressive this past week, and he's moved into the first round. Another guy, Jermaine Johnson from Florida State, might have been a player of the week. He was a fringe late first, early second round. I think he solidified himself as at least a mid first rounder. He came in and really shined. In that game, I think I got him going 21 to New England in my latest mock draft. But those are just a few of the guys that really did really well, in the Senior Bowl. And obviously, this is what February, every year you get these guys that shine in the Senior Bowl and they stock rise. But then it's going to be 2 months where some of these guys are going to fall back down to earth a little bit. You know, when you start to get some of the juniors and things of that nature, and they get to shine in the pro days and the combines and things of that nature, juniors that weren't able to compete in the Senior Bowl. So it's obviously really intriguing. But those are just some of the guys that were really impressive, you know, the entire Senior Bowl week. But overall, I think Jermaine Johnson might have been the one who helped himself the most.
Yeah, and I hate it. And I tell you this every year we've been doing it, that the quarterbacks always artificially rise. And this is going to be one of those things I think that's going to help still push him up. And you talk about Malik Willis, but to me, he's Jalen Hurts, man. And what I hate for him is that he pushes himself up that far, and he's that project that we all know, but somebody falls in love with that running ability, and he doesn't come out the gate, you know, full guns barrels blazing, they're going to call him a bust. And I hate that for him. And I had that same speaking pitch for Desmond Ridder. I think they're okay quarterbacks. I think they need to go to and sit behind a good quarterback and learn. I think that would be the best situation for both of them. I just don't know if that's going to happen, especially when you see these young quarterbacks coming out of the gate now, your Herberts, your Burrows, your Josh Allen coming out and playing well and winning and taking their teams deep into the playoffs and home as well early on, that you're not going to be really afforded that luxury because the fan base is going to be like, well, they young quarterback did it, why you ain't doing it? So I worry about that for them. It, right. Yeah, so they're going to do that. They're going to point to it.
These two guys
are
not Joe Burrow.
It's going to happen.
We know.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it's the point of – when you take them that high for those fan bases that get them, if they don't come in and light the world on fire, they're going to always be compared to the guys that just came before them, right, that actually did it. So I worry about that for them. The other dude that intrigued me in there was Christian Watson from North Dakota State. And I tell you what, that kid just put all those wide receivers from Alabama and Ohio State on notice that he might creep up in that conversation a lot higher than you think. And that kid from Arkansas, he put himself in that conversation with a really good week. You don't think about North Dakota State, you know, throwing the ball. They do a lot of run. But he has himself a good week. He's got a good frame, got speed. So I thought that to be interesting because somebody's going to look up to that, didn't pay attention, and be like, we just kicked somebody from North Dakota State? And we might end up trying to get a gym. So he was my one that I watched. I was like, we talked about, you know, those, especially those Alabama and those Ohio State wide receivers. He might bump somebody, and I don't know if he's going to be Jalen Reagor or not, where they're going to be bad that he bumped somebody, right? Bumped Justin Jefferson down the slide. But we'll see. But I thought that was pretty interesting because I pretty much had those, you know, three or four up there. And like I said, also the kid from Arkansas. And he just kicked the door down in on that conversation, I believe.
Yeah. And getting back to the quarterback, to me, I think Desmond Ridder reminds me more of Jalen Hurts, in my opinion, than I think Malik Willis. Malik Willis reminds me of another Trey Lance because Malik Willis' arm talent is, it's so much better than Jalen Hurts and Desmond Ridder. And he reminds me of Trey Lance, as JQ mentioned, is the guy that you definitely want him to sit a year. You don't want this guy to come in and start the first season for a variety of reasons. He needs to, I think he needs to learn the program, obviously. He's coming from a small school, and there's also some things he needs to work on from an accuracy standpoint. But his talent, just like Trey Lance, when you saw the 49ers go up to get him at number three, his talent was just too good to pass up. And I think you're going to have a few teams that are going to be in armor with Malik Willis in the same way, that's going to get him in the top 10, but not necessarily for him to play in that first season. That would be a mistake. If he can go to the perfect situation, have to sit most of the season like Lance did, I mean, all indications are Garoppolo is not going to be started for the 49ers. They're going to hand the reins over to Trey Lance. And that's the kind of situation that Malik Willis needs to go to as well.
Well, they're not going to set Garoppolo. They're going to try and get – they're going to see what they can get, peddle him, you know.
You
can't have a guy sitting on the sideline making, you know, what, $25, $28 million a year. You know, it's just not cost effective. They're going to try and get rid of
him.
Wasn't there another North Dakota quarterback that Curtis was in love with a while ago? Who was that?
Uh-oh.
He played for the
Austin
Eagles,
Lynn.
And then he. Remember that, Curtis?
Yeah,
you were in love with him. He was the next best thing to sliced bread. He beat the Dallas Cowboys with 47 practice squad players, and remember that? What's he doing now?
Well,
he's not doing jack shit except watching the Super Bowl.
I never heard Gary talk like that. That's awesome. Go ahead.
Texas beat Kansas.
More than that, we got a lot of former quarterbacks watching the Super Bowl too. But I just thought I'd throw that
out. Oh man!
Yeah.
Or you could have like a bonus tonight. The gym is and I'll say it over and over. Cleveland, Detroit, Houston, and Jacksonville. You never put your employee in a shack to be a champion. Everybody else, if you give your employees a shack, give them a chance to be a champion, I can't deny them. But boy, there's four teams, there's four organizations in football that just, what is wrong with them? What is wrong with their management? what is wrong with the morning strip. Don't they got any smart people? Do they got any people that know anything about football? And the answer seems like no. Fortune right there, and especially Cleveland and Detroit. And then if the Rams quarterback wins the Super Bowl, that's going to make Detroit even look even worse.
Ooh. That's a tough call, like you said. We'll dive in on that, too, because we're going to talk about some Super Bowl predictions for sure. And, there's a lot of very interesting storylines that we're going to have to follow. Love the tweet that you had sent out, or that let's talk about Odell and my guy, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That was, amazing to hear him, remember what I told you. So I think Jamar Chase is going to come correct, man. You have that you have a small window, and you realize that not everyone gets there. They were saying how Dan Marino, went to the Super Bowl in his second year. He ain't been since. You just never know. It's just a small window. So whenever you get there, you better make the most of your opportunities, like you realize them, JQ. Why not now? Why not us, man? So,
Knock on wood. Don't let that be us.
Yeah. I know. I'm just saying. You want to make sure. I'm going to wrap up here in the Senior Bowl, too, and we'll let Rob talk about the mock draft, too. I was listening to some stuff, and there's something that Kenny Pickett had said, and he had the dreaded small hands type of situation. Oh, you got small hands, and it's like, he's doing certain exercises to extend the length of, man, it's like, come on, man. I mean, and he had to explain this, I played in Pittsburgh, so, obviously it's just interesting how we have these little situations too, as far as the hand size and blah, 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 blah. And you can only control what you control, So again, I thought he played well, like you said, Rob, in addition to Malik Willis, as well as Desmond Ridder and whatnot too. And JQ's favorite quarterback, Sam Howell. But, again, we are going to see an interest as far as the inflation of quarterbacks and whatnot too, in certain situations like too, man. But like you said, again, this is a deep draft for O-line and defensive linemen. So, we'll see how that plays out for sure. So, Rob, without further ado, thank you for that great analogy, if you will, taking us back, if you will. But let's really dive into the mock draft, Rob, and then we'll talk about some quarterback movements, if you will. Some head coach movement, if you will, for some teams too. So go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, another thing about Kenny Pickett, he shined in interviewing with teams last week too. So that's another thing that that he did really well with on last week too, from a leadership perspective and the football IQ perspective. So he really shined in that area. Really, the only thing is questionable is his hands. And so we'll see if that's going to hold him back. But right now I got him going 13 to Cleveland. So we'll see. You mentioned Sam Howell. I got Howell back in the first round. I got him going to 27 to Tampa Bay. Tom Brady retiring right now, right? They want somebody to come in there and compete with Kyle Trask. I got him going 27. Zion Johnson, the offensive lineman from Boston College, who really shined in the Senior Bowl. I got him going 28 to Green Bay right now to improve their offensive line. Same names at the top, different order. Evan Neal, got him going 1 to Jacksonville. Obviously, with them getting an offensive-minded head coach, they're going to want to continue to protect Trevor Lawrence. They have some pretty good defensive pieces already. So I think they're going to go Evan Neal as of now. And I got Aiden Hutchinson going 2 to Detroit. Kayvon Thibodeau going 3 to Houston. Ikem Ekwonu, offensive tackle from North Carolina State, going to the Jets. Dre's Falcons, I still got him taken. Treylon Burks, Falcons in desperate need for some offensive weapons. So I got him going. Treylon Burks,
you got to have a lot
at the number 8 spot. We don't know what's going on with Calvin Ridley, so I have him going number 8. And I got the Falcons taking Jalen Widermeyer, another weapon, in the second round, tight end from Texas A&M. And then the second pick in the second round, I got the Falcons taking the edge rusher, Cameron Thomas, from San Diego State. Right now, I got the Saints taking Malik Willis at number 18. In the long run, I don't think he's going to be there. I think eventually moves in the top 10. But right now, I have him going 18 to the Saints. Got the Cowboys taking Trent McDuffie, cornerback from Washington, Pacific Northwest. 5'11", 192 pounds, super quick. He's got tremendous ball skills. I think I mentioned this on the show. He reminds me of a former LSU Tiger. You know, my boy played for Kansas City. Why is his name going to play
for Tyron Matthew?
Yeah, Tyron Matthew. I forget. He went to the same high school with him. But anyway, he reminds me a lot of him. He can play on the outside and corner. He can play in the slot. He can probably move to safety as well. Reminds me a lot of him with his versatility. He can rush the passer from the nickel spot as well. Remind me a lot of what Tyron Matthew did at LSU as well in the pro game. Cincinnati, I got him taking DeMarvin Leal, defensive tackle. In honor of Marvin Lewis, they go DeMarvin Leal, defensive tackle from Texas A&M to give him some depth along that defensive line. Hey, you got to honor Marvin Lewis, took the Bengals to the playoffs four straight seasons. Got to honor him, right?
There it is. Right.
All right. In the second round.
Wait a minute. Brandon, you got to pick a number. You got to pick a number 31 or number 32.
I got to pick a 31. 31. Hey, it's that reverse psychology, man. I want the Bengals to win.
Yeah,
it's working with the reverse psychology.
It's worked every. You're right. It's worked every week.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I got the Saints taking Brandon Smith, linebacker from Penn State in the second round. Got the Cowboys improving their offensive line in the second round. Another player from the Pacific Northwest, Abraham Lucas, offensive tackle from Washington State. So the Cowboys in this mock raid the Pacific Northwest. And a surprise second-round pick for the Bengals. Add a little 1-2 punch to the running game. Getting Isaiah Spiller from Texas A&M in Cincinnati.
Ooh.
A 1-2 punch to help Spill Mixon and give Burrow another weapon. Catch the ball out of the backfield and run it. Could be dangerous.
Yeah, they signed some offensive linemen in free agency.
Yep. In this mock,
I'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. We're going to talk about that. I think it's interesting because if you're Curtis and if you're, Gary, are you wondering if Sean Payton retires, he can go coach Dallas? You know, that would be an ultimate torture to Robert. But, you know, I'll be joking. Are you okay with what's happening?
You know, he's been tied to Dallas for a long time. You know, I was reading this article about, I don't know, whoever represented him was going to represent Anthony Davis when Anthony Davis went to the Lakers, and he didn't want to, you know, basically, you know, screw the whole city over, I guess. So that didn't happen at that point. But I'll tell you what, I think he'd definitely be, Jerry Jones is they're very close. He's loved the guy for a long time, and I would love to see him coach the Cowboys. That way, Rob would have to start wearing the silver and blue, which would be great.
Never. Sean Payton be hated in Louisiana like Nick Saban. Nick Saban won a championship at LSU, and now he's hated in Louisiana. Sean Payton be hated at the Cowboys. As much as people in Louisiana hate the Cowboys, he would be hated. You're going to always hear that noise about Sean Payton and the Cowboys. It may very well happen. Obviously, if it does happen, the Cowboys will have to give the Saints something, which will probably be a first-round pick, second-round pick, et cetera, because obviously he's still contractually obligated to New Orleans. So obviously the Saints will have to give something in return. But will Sean Payton go to an organization without having full power? That's the question I have. I think Sean Payton is going to coach again. I really do. I just think he just got burnt out. You know, when you coach 16 straight years, I mean, you know, Tomlin is knocking on 16 years. I think he's going on 15 to 16 himself. Belichick has coached longer than that. I think he will coach again. I think he may do TV for a year or two. I don't know, you know, but I do think Sean Payton will coach again at some point. Obviously, we don't know where. But, you know, with New Orleans, Sean Payton almost had full power in the organization. And that was the reason why he stayed in New Orleans so long, because he had that power. You know, I think if he goes somewhere else, he's going to have that full power. You know, it's almost like the Bill Parcells, you know. You want to be able to buy the groceries, too. And if you got to cook the meal, you want to buy the groceries. I think Sean Payton is going to want that kind of power wherever he goes. And will the Jones family give that to him? That would be, yes. He does have a friendship with Jerry Jones. He was an assistant coach with the Cowboys. I know they still communicate. But will he go to a team without having that kind of full control?
Yes.
The Cowboys getting pretty serious with the fact that they're the biggest brand in sports. But when you look at their record, they haven't been in a Super Bowl in a half a century. Right now, the boy in Cincinnati has won more playoff games than the Cowboys have in the last 10 years.
I was going to say it.
Yeah,
JK, you said that a few days ago, didn't you? I know I did not. You lying bastard.
Habitual line stepper.
I did not say that. Rob ain't shit. That's what shot another. Rob ain't no good.
We're on fire.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe you just
said
that.
I got you, Curtis. We appreciate the insight on that, too, as well. And I want to make you finish your thought there, too. But just to try to keep the train on the track without going too much off. Thank you, Rob, for posting the mock draft again. We want to shout out to the page. And don't forget to check out Talking Sports with 12th Man. We do a good job of posting that as well. I'm just going to say this really quickly. If you want to comment on what Rob has posted, because, again, it always gives us good fodder to talk to, especially as we get ready to wrap up the senior run, get ready to head into the combine. I know it depends on what happens for us, for each of our squads, but we have very strong opinions. For us, I would prefer us to get some offensive line help. I don't know if we're going to get a center in free agency. That's the way I'd go. It's hard to, you know, trust a rookie center coming in, because I think we really need that to strengthen up our offensive line and our defensive line. So, you know, I'm kind of tough from that perspective, one or the other. If you're kind of going, they want to get like a – if you shore up that side, then you want to kind of get the best available player, maybe go wide receiver. We definitely need some edge help, man, for sure. I would double dose into that. We need a running back. We need some talented, more wide receivers. So there's a couple things I think you get from the draft, but it really depends on what happens free agency. But for us, we're the fact that we got to shore up that offensive line, man, defensive line, because they're a poo, as JQ says, man. It's all poo, man. Dumpster fire, as JQ follows it. Any type of adjective you want to add to that, I would love to add to that, what's happening right now for our lines, man. So that's
Tyler Linderbaum from Iowa.
I like that.
Tyler Linderbaum from Iowa, center guard. I got him going number 10 right now to the Jets.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if I trust, like, if they want to go with another rookie. Even though they passed on Cushenberry last year, they passed on a lot of good centers last year. But you just don't, like I said, just the way that we're constructed right now, do you go with that, you know, kind of veteran to kind of, like, stabilize that line? Because obviously Mayfield was just, you know, up and down. You know, that right tackle could, you know, use some, you know, obviously I know you guys can care less, but, you know, you've been to the games, you know, JQ, so it's like there's some situations that you want to
do.
And then obviously what happens to Calvin Ridley, you know, is he coming back? Is he getting traded? Just there's a lot of question marks that we have too. But like you said, the Bengals can be a story too. You kind of add some talent, you never know. But again, we're nowhere near that situation. But I'm just saying, just
it just kind of gives you hope as far as how to build that squad too, man. So, you know. But, yeah, I like Tyler. I'm just kind of iffy. Can he come in? You know, you need somebody to come in and stabilize that situation really, really quickly. So that dude better be the next, Mike Pouncey, something like that, you know, to come in and just, like, dominate.
Yeah, obviously, we have to wait and see how that shakes out. But, you know, he'll be a guy that definitely will be in play right there, you know, in that range, you know, going number 10 of the Jets right now.
Let's talk about this because I do want to – we're going to talk about some coaching moves, but I do also – we're going to save some time for the Super Bowl predictions because that's going to be pretty amazing, if you will, too. But let's talk about some nonsense that happened with the Miami Dolphins. They get 49ers safety Mike McDaniel. I sent you guys a picture to say, you know, that's a stretch biracially, man. I need to look up some parents, if you will, because he definitely took the mom side of the family if that's the case. But, you know, again, as the coach of the Dolphins. And, I don't think this is a bad move because if you read reports, this guy has been solely made one of the main components of the run game for the 49ers. I was actually a fan of this dude at some point. I think the hire is kind of premature. Good news for Curtis and Gary. Kellen Moore is still available for you guys. I know he interviewed for the same position as well. But don't worry, guys. He's still – Kellen Moore is going to stay with the Cowboys. I'm a little upset that I don't hear any traction from a Todd Bowles. I don't hear any traction from a Byron Leftwich. Not sure what's happening with Eric Bieniemy. Pretty disappointing. But on the other side, you have the report that Lovie Smith – he may not be. He ain't coming back. Man. He might as well go to college. Lovie Smith making an appearance from he was in Illinois. Was he in Illinois? Is that where he was at with the freaking beard?
Yeah.
He's rumored to take the coordinator job
in Houston last year.
And it seems like okay, Lovie, you gonna
win
the team? I'm a fan, but I'm like, man, you know, this I don't know why. This doesn't look good. Looks like another
I'm not a fan. Story, you know why? You know why I'm not a fan? Yeah. Because he's had multiple opportunities. And, he had his bright spot. He got into the Super Bowl and he lost to his homeboy, Tony Dungy. But the reason why I'm not a fan, you pass him
on
Bieniemy must need to go Indeed. Bieniemy must need to go on Indeed.com and take some interviewing classes because he's got to be the worst interviewer of all time. Like, I don't know what's going on with Bieniemy. Like, he must walk in the room and be like, what?
Right.
What? You talking about the head coach's job? Because I don't know what he's doing when he goes to the interview because nobody would hire that dude. That's some wild shit to me. Like, what is he saying to these dudes to keep getting passed over?
Right.
But the reason why I don't like the Lovie Smith one, I like it. It's token, but it's also if I'm in Texas and we aren't going to win anyway, I can say, hey, we did this after, you know, we talked about our owner McNair being racist. And you can say, look, we got hired as a black coach. He sucks. So then we fire him, and this is why we don't hire black head coaches. That's what I'm afraid of because I just don't think Lovie Smith is that guy. Right now in this cycle for that, you know, for that team, for anybody. Nobody is excited to hire Lovie Smith as their coach. To me, some people are meant to be defensive coordinators. I think he's meant to be a defensive coordinator. He's had a second shot. It didn't go well. You know, I feel bad for him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to hate on that dude. But when you guys, I feel like there's so many other better, younger guys that bring a fresher approach that if I hire him and I know I'm not going anywhere, I could take that lump for the other 31 teams and say, yep. We hired this one, and he sucked. Now we can look back and say, see, we hired him when we sucked, and we moved on. This is why we don't hire him. And I don't know if that's going to be the case, but I look at that for that organization where they are and his, you know, track record. He sucked Illinois, sucked the second stop. It's like, of all of them out there, you pick Lovie Smith? So that's a little concerning to me. And another piece for Miami, like if you look at it, they all want a part of that West Coast offense, right? To get, Hackett coming from Green Bay. We've got Zach Taylor. Who we picked from the Rams from Sean McVay. You get people trying to get off that Shanahan tree. So you see that trend of them trying to get that influence into their – mostly into their offense, into their organization. But, yeah, I'm not a fan of the Lovie Smith hire. I just don't – for all that, you could just cut the dude you had. Like,
yep, David Cole. Yep.
Yep. Well, you can't – one thing for sure, they fired two back-to-back black coaches, but they gave the last one 1 year and they fired them. 1 year.
It's going to happen again.
You're going to probably see the same thing happen again, which is, which is unfortunate. But yeah, the Lovie Smith hire came out of nowhere. It looked like Josh McCown, you know, and that was a shocker too. So I don't know who's running things in Houston right now. And Josh McCown was coaching.
They wanted to hire Josh McCown last year. They had to talk him out of it last year. Josh McCown ain't never coached nowhere.
Yeah, high school. He's been coaching high school. They're going to bring him all the way to the NFL.
we'll let Curtis and Gary chime in. But it's even messed up because I feel like Bill O'Brien, like, ran that organization to the ground. And, you know, you traded DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, yeah.
And there's certain things that you kind of question. And you're like, y'all let this dude kind of throw it, and then, oh, here you go, coverage bear, deuces. And then, like, what the hell just happened, man? I done got, like, you know, 86 over here, the cupboard is bare. Deshaun Watson's not there. You're dealing with Davis Mills as quarterback. You basically have nothing. And you're like, hey, be successful. What the shit, you know? So literally, unless you have a massive, you know, you traded your picks to Miami, it just wasn't – it's not a good look. You know, right now it's not a good look at all. Who wants to say, I'm going to take that job, you know, thumbs up, you know. But as I let Curtis and Gary chime in too, I do have to admit, if you do have a solid running game, and you know, I'm not going to know the line. I know we have different variations. I'm a huge fan of Kyle Shanahan because that was the best offense we've had. I'll keep ringing that bell. If you can bring some semblance of that, then that is a successful thing. You can follow that, you know. So, you know, again, I still feel like we've been, you know, bamboozled over here because that's what we thought Arthur Smith was going to bring, which is not what that offense is at all. So I'm still upset about that. But if, you know, at least if you're Miami, if you're Mike, at least you have a, you know, quarterback, you know, because I don't think Tua would play that bad. If you kind of switch that running game in there, you got some talented, yeah, Waddle, you know, I think so. But that's just, you know, I think he's pulled off. So,
Tua got that guy.
Fair enough. We'll see. I mean, again, you talk about people being bust.
Wouldn't you be skeptical going to that Miami organization after the shit that they've pulled?
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter even what your race was. If I were in that position where I've got teams looking for a head coach, that would be my last choice right now. Just because of the organization, how they handled things.
You got an opportunity, Gary. Gary, there's only 32 jobs.
I understand that, but that would definitely be, you know, my last choice. And I'm sure that there are other guys out there. Maybe that's, I don't know, I wasn't in the interview room, or I don't know the thought processes of, you know, guys like Kellen Moore and others that had several interviews, you know, with the Dolphins. But I would probably be going back to Dallas and saying, wow, you know what? I'll stay here for another year or whatever, or 2 years, and let's see what else is out there, because that he might have come back. They might have come back and said, that organization's a hot mess. Because I would, you know, in an interview, it's not anybody that's interviewed knows that it's not just, you're not just receiving questions. You already have questions and concerns about, you know, that particular company or organization. And that would be hot on my mind. And I wouldn't worry about, at that point, you know, who I offended or didn't offend. I would need those answered before I would give, you know, before I would give any kind of a, you know, yay or nay on that particular job. And I think that may be, you know, what's happened there. I think there are probably some of them that have just kind of, dodged a bullet with that one. Especially when you've got an owner with zero integrity.
Well, I think NFL is kind of reminding me of my childhood. I remember in my childhood, the older guys used to say there needs to be a lot of depth, but there'd be changes in our society. I think you guys know what I was talking about. I grew up in the 60s, and we were going through a lot of mess, and a lot of the older men said that it was going to have to be a lot of death in order for things to change in our society. And now the NFL is kind of reminding me of my childhood. You know, looking at the owners in the NFL, there's going to be, have to be a lot of depth for there to be that progress that we're looking at. But Gary made a good point. I mean, there's two quarterbacks right now that if I was a coach, I would say absolutely not. And one plays in Miami and one plays in Cleveland. There's no way I would take that job with those two guys being trying to tell me that they're the future of this team being successful or not. Those two right there. And if I think more hardly, the New York Giants probably got one. And just think of Miami. Look what they're up against. They have Buffalo, New England, you know.
Yeah.
They need somebody. And they did the wrong thing. And it's going to be hard to fix. I don't think McDaniel, and that's my last name, is going to do better than what they had. I don't think he's going to do that. And they're going to look foolish. And that's just too bad. But he might be too little. And the guy in Arizona might also be too little to be the quarterback that's going to get you to the Super Bowl. Football's not a little man's game. It's just not.
Yep.
It's a monster game. If you're not a monster, like Aaron Donald, and that's why I'm picking the Rams. Rams got a monster. And they got
bad.
A real competitor in their quarterback that they took under Detroit. That guy's a competitor. And that's why I'm picking them up. But I don't think Cincinnati has nothing to be ashamed of. What they got to look for in Cincinnati, if they can repeat, and I think it's not going to be easy to repeat being the champs of that Central Division. They're going to get a healthy guy in Baltimore. Pittsburgh's going to make a good move. And I think they're going to Cleveland, They're going to get off their quarterback. And they're going to be a better team when they figure that out. If they need to go a different direction. So Cincinnati, they got the hardest road to repeat and get there again. Now, one team that doesn't have a hard road is Green Bay and Dallas. Their divisions are trash. And there's no reason, even next year, that the Dallas can't win their division. And Green Bay, there's almost no reason for them not to win their division either.
Oh, no, you better watch out for the Washington Commanders.
Even if Aaron Rodgers moves on?
Well, that'd be a little bit of a reason. But they'll better run organization than any of those organizations in their league. Chicago,
Detroit, Minnesota.
Yeah, Detroit. Yeah. What a mess. But good for Green Bay and good for Dallas. Being in divisions that are terrible.
Yeah, Curtis, you don't get the Bengals no respect, JQ.
So hold on, before we get a little, we got a little hot take happening. So I think I want to give everyone time to talk about this in the OT, and we'll wrap this up. But maybe we'll talk about Luka and Trey real quick. But this gives us enough time to kind of go into the OT, because literally, I'm sure after that bomb was dropped, JQ has some thoughts. I'm sure Rob has some thoughts, and Gary, want to hear your thoughts as well, because we're going to talk about our Super Bowl predictions. So, you know, gentlemen, America, this is a great time to tune into the OT portion, because I'm sure there's going to be some fire happening in the OT portion, because JQ is already ready to go. But Rob, before we
you
get
you see the smoke coming out of his head and out of
man,
that hat.
He is ready to but this is a good conversation too, if we will, because we're going to talk about a couple of things. But Rob, set us up for the OT portion here, because you know, we managed to, I don't know how we managed to avoid your boy not calling him, but we did it the whole time. But the whole time, set this up. my dreams have been realized, if you will, too, man. So let's go ahead and set this up with OT.
My dreams have been realized.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize that tone. That's the end of our live portion of the show. We thank you all for tuning in. We're going to be back at you live on next Tuesday night. We're getting ready to go into our OG portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live, but the rest of the week, you can click on it. You can hear our Super Bowl predictions. We want to hear from you. Let us know what you all think as well about the Super Bowl and your predictions. We want to hear from you. But next week, live again, Tuesday night, Cincinnati. We want to hear from y'all. It's going to be 11 o'clock Cincinnati time next Tuesday night. We want to hear from y'all in the state of Ohio on the show on next Tuesday night. Chicago, we want to hear from y'all. Curtis just said y'all can't stand up to the Green Bay Packers. We want to hear from y'all in Chicago next week. That's going to be 10 o'clock in Chicago. And JQ, we want to hear from y'all about the Balloon Festival in Albuquerque. That's going to be 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. All right. Hollywood, L.A., y'all in the Super Bowl, too. We want to hear from y'all. It's going to be 8 p.m. in Hollywood next week. Magic Johnson, we want to hear from you. Call in. We want to hear from y'all in Hollywood. Good night, people.
You're a damn fool. Yeah, I'm just going to put it out there because we ain't get to it. I had the biggest fantasy win of the week, and we moved in the first place. Boom. Let's go. I appreciate Rob for the assist.
I helped you out with the ladder.
Yes, you did. That's what I said. I appreciate the assist. Appreciate y'all, and I know I'm not gonna get too crazy to see y'all. So you know, y'all can tune in, download it here, but I ain't gonna get too crazy. That's what I expected. I know I'm out here on this island by myself. It's okay. I'm good. I got Wilson with me, like Tom Hanks in Castaway. I got him with me. I'm good.
Listen here, my quote is like Twinkies and cockroaches. At the end, when the nuclear war happens, those three things will always survive. I won't believe it until I see them give it. That's where I am with him. He can survive a nuclear war.
Hey,
time that Marvin Lewis' name has been brought up, we got to play the Marvin Lewis clip.
I had to bring his name up.
My hat's off to him. He's 9-1 in the playoffs against Stotts. He's going to be 9-2 after Thursday.
We got that on. We recorded that, right, Andre?
The address I saw was it was in Lake Oswego, and here in Portland we call that Lake No Negro.
How are we really having this conversation after this?
Yes, I forgot.
Look, Andre got the history going tonight. You got a little real going.
Oh my God.
We got
stuff,
man. This is awesome.
Oh, man.
The classic picture about Marvin Lewis will never lie. Every time we play Marvin Lewis, that clip's got to come up too, man. But, you know, that's just stuff. I know we didn't get it. We may not get a chance to talk about this, you know, because, again, we got 3 days from – or, excuse me, now 2 days from the NBA trade deadline. So we'll see if any moves happen. There's been slight moves as well. We see Ricky Rubio being traded to Cleveland. Caris LeVert, a little bit, a couple picks. So it's an interesting situation from that, but we'll see if any big-time moves are going. I do want to talk about the Bengals and some of that too, but I know we have to talk about that because, you know, we'll see everything happens on the NBA front.
I see J.J. McCollum in Portland. He could get moved.
J.J. McCollum is a big one.
He's one to watch.
I don't know.
Yep.
James Harden doesn't seem like he's going anywhere. I know everyone thinks I'm crazy. If there's a way for us to pull a trigger for Ben Simmons, I think he's perfect for the Hawks. That's just me. I know it's a situation. But we need defense, man. And that dude can handle the rock once traded. I mean, I think it's a good situation. I don't want to trade any shooters. If we can do John Collins, you know, Kevin Knox, a first-round pick or something like that, I think it's a good pick, honestly. That's me. That's me. You know, I'm all in, man. You know, you don't have to shoot, bro. Just pass the ball.
I would give him a first-round pick for Ben Simmons. I would. I would give him a first-round pick. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but, you know,
you can fit him in the cap.
Yeah, but again, that's another conversation. But again, that was just my little rant. Congratulations, JQ, first place, if you will, too. So it's all good, man. But let's talk about this here. Let's talk about what's happening. Our Super Bowl predictions, we're finally here in the OT portion. We had Curtis was firing some shots here. And it's good shots. Obviously, this is healthy fun, if you will. Next year, we talked about the situation with the Bengals. Right? We talked about don't turn around, JQ. We talked about what's happening with the Bengals because why not now?
I thought he was about to do the Randy Moss on y'all. Turn around, man.
We talked about
I thought he was about to moon y'all.
Damn, that's hilarious. So we're gonna let JQ talk about this because there's a couple situations and JQ is gonna have the floor, and we'll talk about some situations. You know, we'll compare the Rams. Maybe Gary will take the Rams because, again, Cooper Kupp, you know, Matt Stafford, there's a lot of things that you have. Did Matthew Stafford get the monkey off his back with a playoff win? But like you said, if you're the Bengals, they don't even know they're supposed to be there, and they're shocking the world. And then you have Ja'Marr Chase like, yo, we're here. We got to do this. Next year, it's going
to
be tough.
Oh, they know they're supposed to be
there. The salary cap,
some of the fans don't. But the Bengals themselves, they know they're supposed to be there.
That's what I'm saying. You beat the Super Bowl pick that everyone had, right? And for them, they're like, "Yo, there's no stopping us." You know, and then now, but you're the Rams. You got a lot of pressure because you traded your mama, your daddy. You're going all in, so the pressure is on the Rams. You know, but then you got like a quarterback like Matt Stafford, like you said. It's a lot of different situations too. But this is going to be a very, very interesting game. So JQ. You took off your Cleveland hat, so this means business. The floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, no, I just got high. I mean, George, that's close.
Of course
that's
you got
all,
high.
That's
course
all
you
that
got
was.
High. Of course you
yeah,
got
no,
high.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I know about this Allen with the rest of the Bengals fans, and I think the only game that I think people, the pundits, so far on this ride gave us a chance to win was the Raiders. I thought that we could beat the Raiders to get the monkey off our back at home. But every game since then, we went to Tennessee. Nobody thought they were going to be able to beat Tennessee. Got sacked 9 times and found a way to win. Then nobody
thought we were going to
have a
chance of beating Tennessee.
There's not a lot. Not when Derrick Henry came back. I mean, there wasn't too many people that picked them. Gary did. I give Gary a lot of credit. But it was probably about 75-25 nationally, Titans to Bengals. And then, you know, it was way more than that. It was like, there's no way they could beat Chiefs twice. And they got to go in the Arrowhead and do it. So I'm with you, Gary. They believe, and they've been talking about it as soon as they got in. Like, you know, we're not just some, you know, cute story. We deserve to be here. We're a good team. We're gonna come play our asses off. So the thing about it, and it's a storyline going into it, and I just don't think it can be overstated. What they must do to keep Joe Burrow upright against Aaron Donald and Von Miller and Leonard Floyd, and then in response to that, do the Rams start to creep up, saying they're going to do a quick passing game, so all that little underneath stuff doesn't be as open because you know you got to get the ball out super quick. So I'm really interested to see with Zach Taylor knowing Sean McVay before he even knows him, right, coming from his tree, what kind of insights he has into the way Sean McVay thinks and how he tries to counterpunch coming out the gate and trying to catch him off balance and the other way around, right? Sean McVay, if you're sitting there saying, Zach Taylor thinks I'm going to do A because he was with me, so I'm going to do B. So that's going to be a really interesting chess match. But at this point, when you hear, as a fan, you've seen him, you know, play a couple of dragons, it's another dragon. And, you know, to me, it feels like you're the underdog. Atlanta gets the Braves, get their championship, get the monkey off their back. Georgia gets the monkey off their back. Like I say, why not us right now? And I agree. You know, I think Cincinnati is still playing with house money. Of course, at this point, you want to win the game, right? You know, it's like they're not just have to be in L.A. to show up and get the ass whooped. Like, they want to win this game. They're going to come and do everything they can to do it. But we talked about this going into the season. When I said it, I still believed it, that Matthew Stafford had the most pressure on him than anybody because you had a quarterback that he's not great, but he got you to a Super Bowl. You lost it, but you win. So you can trade and go get Ramsey, and you go get Von, and you make that deal to go get Stafford. You're like, you know, you really hold no punches. Like, yeah, I'm so excited I got Matthew Stafford. Like, I basically have a chance now. I was like, well, damn. Just kick Jerry Bouts in the head while you're at the press conference there, Sean. So with all that being said, given what the Rams have put forward, the pressure is on the Rams, but, I mean, they've got a veteran team that I don't think the pressure necessarily, you know, busts their pipes. But, you know, we haven't seen Matthew Stafford really have this do it. And they really celebrated. You know, Aaron Ring was doing the whole ring celebration, and Matthew Stafford's wife jumped in his arms. I was like, did they win the Super Bowl last week? And I didn't know it because they celebrated like they won the Super Bowl when it got past San Francisco. So we're going to see. I think Cincinnati is going to win this game. I think it's going to be another – I think they do. I think it's going to be another nail biter because that's apparently just the way we roll. We can't win no game by 10 points or more. It's going to have to be down to the wire. I'm going to go Cincinnati 28, L.A. 24.
Yeah, yeah. Is Jalen Ramsey, he's going to match up versus Jamar Chase is the word too, right? So we'll see if that, you know, or they may roll coverage, right? So that's something to think about too, right?
They say that. He doesn't always travel, right? Like, a lot of times he might stay on one side or the other, but he doesn't always follow the best receiver. But there's two ways to look at it. Do you put Jalen Ramsey on T. Higgins and say, I can shut him down, and then I can double Chase on the other side
and
do it that way? So it's a lot of interesting subplots. I'm interested to see how they try to slow that thing. And the same thing for the Bengals. How do you cover OBJ and Kupp?
Because
we don't have Jalen Ramsey, right? So they're going to have to come up with some wild shit to keep Kupp and OBJ and, you know, kind of in check. And I think what it comes down to is they hold L.A. to one field goal where they could have got a touchdown. Cincinnati scores four touchdowns. That's why I get to 28-24. It might be like an irregularly game.
I'll let Robert Curtis talk in a quick second, Gary, too. I'm going to say I'm actually kind of leaning towards – I think Cincinnati, they're just going to – they just have the – you know, it's now or never. We got to go in, and next year's not promised. So I kind of agree with you. I think it's going to be a higher scoring game. I think it's going to be like 34-27. That's me. It could even be like a, you know, field goal team, too. But, you know, that's what I'm thinking as far as there's going to be some points. Cooper Kupp's going to be hard to stop. May go back, but I think it's definitely going to be a higher scoring game. That's just me. But, you know, it could go either way. It could be like a 16, 13.
And real quick, Derek Curtis is absolutely right. That road back is much harder for Cincinnati because you got all those young guns in the AFC that you have to go through again and probably in the near future. You're going to see Josh Allen again. You're probably not going to get to that place where you play Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. You're probably going to have to beat them both for anybody to try to get through. So you got those two. You're going to get, you know, you still got to say, you got those two, Mahomes and Allen, and you got Justin Herbert out there. You got Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. So, you know, you got – it's a tough road to hoe in that AFC with those young quarterbacks. It's not given at all. You got to take advantage while you get a chance.
I can see both, and I'll let Rob get in. I'm so excited because, like, if you're the Bengals, you got to figure out how to no one's been able to shut down Cooper Kupp. You know, no one has, and that's crazy. But, you know, do you really trust Matthew Stafford? Again, you had a great game versus you got the monkey off your back with, you know, the 49ers. And the Rams do have an amazing defense. Like they're gonna rush you, man. So it's almost like this is gonna be very interesting because you know do the Bengals run enough? That's the question. You got some dynamic playmakers in Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. You know you got it tied in, but certain things you got to see how the matches play out too. So you can't like do that. But no one's been able to do Kupp too. So that's why this is a very intriguing matchup. I'll let Rob kind of talk to that too. So go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, you know, looking at this game from a Cincinnati perspective, obviously I want them to win. And Ja'Marr Chase, I wouldn't be worried about who's covering him. Jalen Ramsey, I don't care. I haven't seen anybody be able to stop the dude. Even on a college level, you look at Trayvon Diggs, ate him up. You look at, what's the cornerback play for the Falcons that went to Clemson?
AJ Terrell.
These guys were first-round picks, and Chase made them look like chump change. And I wouldn't even be worried about Jalen Ramsey. The thing I'm worried about with Cincinnati Bengals is offensive line and protecting their defense. Chase will be able to beat Ramsey, in my opinion. He'll be able to get his catches. If they can get him the football, he'll have success against Ramsey. But the key is going to be protecting Joe Burrow, giving him time to get the ball down the field, you know, getting some quick passes out there. They're going to have to mix it up with Mixon. They got to protect Burrow, so they're going to have a strong running game too, right? That's going to be key, but it wouldn't. I'm not worried about Jalen Ramsey on Chase. Chase going to get his. And the key for the Bengals on defense, we talked about Kupp and we talked about OBJ, but the key is going to be Trey Hendrickson and Hubbard. Those two guys got to be ferocious on that pass rush, and they got to get to Stafford. Because they don't have the personnel in their secondary to stop Kupp. But Andrew Whitworth got to be about 89 years old, and he's still playing left tackle for that team. And he's the LSU guy. You know, I know I'm being funny, but he's the LSU guy, but he got to be about 89 years old. I mean, come on, Trey Hendrickson and Hubbard got to be able to beat him around that edge, right? They can't let an old man, you know, protect him. And I think there's an opportunity here for Cincinnati to have some success and put some pressure on Stafford with Hubbard and Henderson. And they're going to have to come up big in order to do so. So those are going to be the key in this game for the Bengals. The defensive line and the offensive line is going to have to play big. And I'm going to go with the Bengals 30-27 and winning the Super Bowl.
Very, very generous of you, Rob. That's a good score. Very good score. You know, when you were talking about you weren't worried about Ramsey, you know, he knows that those guys can get in, you know, on that quarterback. They know that they can get in on him. And all he knows is it's not like Patrick Mahomes running around, you know, for, you know, 18 seconds in the backfield. You know, they know that there's just that brief, you know, 3 seconds, that 4 seconds that you just got to stay right with that receiver. Any great receiver is going to be able to get by a great defensive back, you know, in my opinion. It's been that way for a long time. There have been very, very few truly just absolutely shut down cornerbacks in this league.
Yeah.
But with a pass rush like the Rams have, and yeah, they went all in. And they got some guys that know how to play in the big games. And they're gonna come after that guy. And they start knocking him down, and it could be a long day for Cincinnati. I think it's gonna be a good game. And I don't think it's going to be as high a scoring game as what I've heard so far. I don't think it's going to be this high scoring shootout. I think the coaching staffs are going to be good enough to keep those scores down. I'm thinking it's going to be like 23-17 type of a score. I think it's going to be more of a defensive game than an offensive game myself. And I am going with the Rams. I'm going with the Rams because of their defensive line is scary. And, of course, I picked this early in, you know, when my dad passed away, I picked it. So it's everything has fallen into place. So this is the last thing right here is coming in and winning the Super Bowl. Now, I will say this. If Cincinnati comes in and they win this Super Bowl, they would, you know, they're a great football team. This team is built, and they're going to be good, I think, for a long time. You know, depending on how you do with contracts and things like that, with the salary cap.
Right.
But, you know, in the foreseeable future, they're going to be competitive against any of those teams. They, you know, JQ, you mentioned some of the teams.
Baltimore.
I don't think they're going to have an issue with.
Buffalo.
That's the only two teams I think they're going to have an issue with, but I think they can beat, is Buffalo, and they've already proven they can beat Kansas City. So I can see this team being good for a long time. I wish both teams well. The only reason I'm picking them, of course, is my dad. So I'm hoping that they win for him. But if they don't, I'll be texting you and toasting to the Cincinnati.
And I appreciate it. And likewise. Yep.
I mean, they got a better piece than the LA Rams do. But, like I said last week, and I know the NFL does this. Now, it's going to be very interesting to me what they think they're going to do and how they're going to handle the L.A. defensive line, what the line is being trained to do, and who's going to ship and what kind of thing they got to do with Aaron Donald, Boy, and the guy from Denver. They got to deal with that. And then, like I saw off playoff day, and it reminded me of high school, you go back at halftime. And the half times are longer. You put everything on film, and you really look at what you try to do and what they try to do, and you counter at the halftime. Counter, and you try to figure out that's when the game is won. What plan after halftime do we have to win this game? What do we have to do? Because we saw them in the first half, saw what they were going to try and do, and after halftime, their adjustments. And since that quote, the Rams has already been there. He's going to have that experience. The Rams, like I said, Cincinnati's got nothing to lose. But the Rams are all in. And they expect to make a spectacle at L.A. in that halftime show. And Black History Week, but I have to mention that we're talking about a black sport that's been a black sport for a long time.
Who do you pick in the game?
I'm picking the Rams. Graham is just, it's their time. And if they may not make it back next year, but this is, you know, their time. They may not win the division next year, but this is their time. Whereas, you know, both teams are going back to two divisions. That's trying to figure out what they have to do to win their division. And both teams are in very good divisions.
All right.
Good stuff. So I know we've all, you know, talked about this, and we're all going to be watching, you know, you got, like, next week whenever we chat, we'll know who's going to win the Super Bowl too. So next week is going to be a great show to figure out too. I know we've definitely gone long in the OT. I did want to, you know, hopefully Rob, we can save the tray for next week and topic, but I do want to talk really quickly. We're going to talk about windows here, and we can talk about any topic you want as we wrap up, but I did want to mention Jimbo Fisher and how he has a window right now for Texas A&M. So he had, you know, pretty good class. Where the hell is Kevin Sumlin at? Is he coaching? Where's he? Oh, the Houston Gamblers. Man, I was curious where the hell he went, man, but I had to look that up.
Somewhere
drinking.
Houston
Gamblers, USFL. I was like, where the hell did Kevin Sumlin go? But Jimbo Fisher, now you got a small window, man, because, you know, obviously, you know, you've had some top classes, if you will, but you haven't quite gotten over the hump. You got the recent rise ascension to, you know, Georgia. Georgia obviously was Kirby Smart beating the second guy to beat Nick Saban, if you will, as far as the tree. But what's the window for Kevin, for your boy Jimbo Fisher? Because he keeps building, but what's happening right now? Is this the window, if you will? Or is he going to – because he got to do it now before they make that official move, you know, until things happen for the SEC. But what do you think about that, Rob?
Well, I mean, you saw the headline. Obviously he won a national championship with Jameis Winston at Florida State. You know, can he do it in the big boy league? Can he do it in the SEC, right? He did beat Alabama last year. You know, this is the highest-ranked recruiting class in the history of recruiting, this Texas A&M class. So, obviously, he did a phenomenal job when it came from recruiting. And not only, you know, he got him from Texas. He even went to Louisiana and got a few players. He went to players all over the country and got some players. So he's obviously got the recruiting down pat. Can he get – he got 7 5-star prospects in his class.
Damn.
Seven 5-star, including quarterback Connor Wigman, who was the number 2 overall prospect in the country. And then also another top 5 player in the country, Walter Nolan. Defensive lineman as well. So he's got a huge class. He's got some good talent coming back. Obviously he's losing some too, but, you know, yeah, this is an opportunity. I would say he's got to win a national championship within the next 3 years or so. It's a good amount of money he's going to pay. This is going to be huge for him at Texas A&M. Can he do it? We'll see. We still got Nick Saban in Alabama. We still got Kirby Smart in Georgia. Now you got Brian Kelly at LSU, so it's not going to be easy. It's a big boy league. And, hey, Texas had the 5th best recruiting class in the country. So Sarkisian, you know, and if he gets a hold of some alcohol, look out.
Rob, you did not pull a JQ over there. I used to live in Bryan in college, Texas, if I know exactly what that is. Man, that's
– all you have to drink on Kevin Sumlin's drunk ass. But you – Man, you know, Kevin Sumlin used to be lit. Remember him on the sideline? He used to be drunk. I don't care what nobody says.
I know, like, he'd be like, whoa, that was hilarious, man.
I'm just going to put that out there.
Thank you.
But I agree. If you look at it, you know, Alabama reloads, but Bryce Young, you know, you kind of got a little blueprint from Georgia. And, of course, Georgia had a great defense, don't get me wrong. But how to get him a little rattle, he's losing those wide receivers. That defense wasn't as great as it's been in the past years. The offensive line wasn't really as great as it's been in the past years. So if you're talking about Texas A&M recruiting the way they have, I think it's going to take a year or two for Brian Kelly to get it fully established back to where he wants it in LSU. Auburn is a dumpster fire right now, what they have going on with their coaching. the whole him leaving and them looking at you with so they aren't coming back for a second. So you're going to have to go through Georgia for sure in the SEC championship game. But in terms of as good as the SEC West has been, if you got that kind of class coming in where you got LSU trying to rebuild a little bit and Alabama looking almost mortal, dare I say, if not now, when?
Yep. This is the time to shine. And like I said, you better do it before Texas coming to lead. Sarkisian got the fifth best class in the country. He got a quarterback from Arizona State that's transferring as well. Texas got 2 5-star offensive linemen coming. Offensive tackle Calvin Banks, offensive lineman. Hey, you might get a hold of that alcohol again. So look out.
Rob, if he doesn't go in there and succeed in the next 2 or 3 years with this type of talent coming in, is this the biggest screw-up ever? The biggest screw-up with that kind of talent coming in? I mean, I know you're in Southeastern Conference, but let's go. You know, great coach, you know, all this talent, great, best recruiting class ever. If they don't win, if they're not in the, at least in the playoffs, I would say it's probably the biggest flop.
I think he's got to be minimum at least make it to the playoffs. I mean, they came knocking on the door not this past season, the year before last when they finished fifth overall. So he's knocked on the door, but at minimum, he's got to get to the playoffs within the next couple of years. On the surface, I don't think Texas A&M is a playoff team next year, but maybe that following year could be the year. But, you know, we shall see. He's got to get there within the next couple of years with the kind of talent he's got coming in there. And he's in a great recruiting area. I mean, Texas A&M is not that far from Houston. Houston is a hotbed of talent. The state of Texas has a lot of talent, first of all. Louisiana puts out a lot of good football talent, and you're right on the border there as well. And then, you know, playing in the SEC Conference gives them the opportunity to recruit nationally, too. So, you know,
Curtis, go ahead.
Well, I guess Curtis, we'll wrap this up.
Man, Joy, I'm talking to you guys, but – it's almost been 4 years, and I do want to mention, again, Black History Month, and, you know, it's day by day for me, but every day is a gift for me, and every time I get a chance to talk to you guys, it's another gift for me.
Thank you, Curtis. Yeah, we appreciate you, man. Seriously, having you and sharing your insights and being here.
Absolutely.
We get it. So thank you for fighting as always. So we're praying that you keep fighting and, you know, we keep each week, man. It's always a privilege to have you on. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Gentlemen, I know we're getting ready to wrap up for the lady.
True Warrior.
I just wanted to, you know, shout out to Curtis, you know, Black History Month, everything. Thank you for your fight. Gary, thank you for always, you know, again, switching nights. I know this was definitely a nice little change, but we had a really good show. We are looking forward to everything. A little segue. It's crazy. We'll talk about this more next week. I was looking up because whenever you brought up Texas A&M, I did wonder what happened to Kevin Sumlin, and you find out he's part of the USFL, which is slated to debut April 16th of this year. These are some head coaches, just to let you know. Skip Holtz, Larry Fedora, Todd Haley, Jeff Fisher, Mike Riley, Kirby Wilson, and Bart Andrews. But just Jeff Fisher makes a comeback as always. I'm just like, where the hell is he at? He coaches the Michigan Panthers, just to let you know, JQ. So there's always going to be some hate already for Jeff Fisher, which is hilarious. But
who's coaching
like
that? Who's coaching the New Orleans team? I don't even know.
Actually, that's Larry Fedora, the New Orleans Breakers, believe it or not. So, yeah, it's like it's crazy.
Fedora,
to see
he was coaching Southern Miss in North Carolina. Okay.
North Carolina.
So it's just We don't even have enough black coaches in that way. We got one black coach for there. So, you know, again, we at least we got one.
Can
we get you think we get a league and we just like just dominate and just buy a league and just kind of like take over, man. So if that's the case,
it's
guys,
only one team.
It's
only 8 teams in the USFL. So right now we got 2.5 black coaches in the NFL. So what's the percentage of the 32? Actually, 1 out of 8 is a better position, better percentage than the NFL.
One out of eight is 12.5%. 2.5 out of 32.
It's double.
That's what's up, bro. Yeah, it is. It's just like I was making a crazy joke. I was like, "Where's Kevin? He's actually there, man." So again, we would think we would dominate, find a league, and just do our own thing, but. Gentlemen, I know we went way past
some of them
messing
around and win that. Well, no, I want to say they're going to win the championship. They got a team in New Orleans on there, so I
got
to root for the Breakers. But
they got Tampa Bay Bandits, too. So, you know, Tampa Bay going to try to do something. But, you know, but anyway, I just wanted to talk to that. But, gentlemen, again, appreciate you, Curtis. Thanks for your fight, man. We appreciate you, Gary. Thanks for taking care of him. As always, we went way over the time, but this is a very powerful, fun show, if you will. I know we got excited to talk about the Super Bowl. We're excited for you, JQ, because we have representation. We are excited for that side, for the Rams, too. Obviously, got to represent for your dad, Gary, too. So it's just an interesting matchup. So we'll talk about that. We know where, you know, LSU is all Rob talks about, man. So, you know, again, we know where he's leaning, but it's going to be a good game for sure, man. So pay attention to the commercials, guys. Keep it going. And, guys, have a fantastic week, man. So, Rob, be safe on Wednesday as well whenever your travels, man. So I know we'll be in touch soon. And this is what I live for, too. I enjoy. I know sometimes we get a little crazy with schedules, but this does bring me joy to chat with you guys every single week, man. So it's a privilege. So
oh,
you
yeah.
got to keep it going. Celebrate Black History.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's not just 1 month, but, you know, we just got to keep it going, man. So signing off, man. We'll talk to you guys next time for sure, okay?
All right, John.
Go Bengals.
Biggest eating day in America is Super Bowl Sunday.
Yep.
That second to Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. I know I'm making my Super Bowl chili for
wings
sure.
And pizza.
Wings, man. Yep, I'm making both of those. I'm going to get some wings and some Super Bowl chili, man. So that's kind of like my tradition. It'll be a vegan kind of chili, but that's what I do, man. So yeah, fun times.
Make it do what it do.
What happened? Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah, I just you know, it's something I did because, you know, try to eat a little healthier, man. So, you know, try to have a little bit of both. But, you know, I try to, like, you know, eat healthy a little bit. So, it's all good. I'm not liking
Andrea, Andrea on that KL Life.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm telling you. We love some salad, man. So, we'll talk, Gary. I can't wait to chat with you more, Gary. I know we got to come see you guys in Portland at some point, too, because we're doing some traveling.
Yeah.
Working on my American Express Platinum business card one day. I'm trying to be, like, the big shots, like Rob, man. So, I'll be there. But it's all good. So, yeah.
Gary's retiring here, April 29th.
Seriously? Hey, we got to have a retirement party, man. Let us know what a retirement party is so we can come.
Let's do it, man.
Nah, no retirement party.
Nah, he's like, I'm right off. You got to ride off the sunset like Tom Brady? Is that what you're going to do? I'm out.
And Lisa retired.
Oh,
Lisa,
man.
I got it.
Lisa Harbison retired.
Is she really?
Yep.
Wow.
Effect, I think she's got 2 more weeks.
Wow.
She retired.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know that person, but wow.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm pretty happy in Tampa.
Rob, you just couldn't do it without me. That's what I told her.
Wow.
Another conversation.
I'll send her a message.
Yeah, do that. Yeah. Do that.
Good night, gentlemen.
All right, gentlemen. Our lady cut off on us. Have a good one, man. We'll talk to you guys through the week, man. Appreciate you guys for sure.
Yeah.
Peace. All right.